day. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, last week we wrapped up our series on prayer, and we're going to tackle a new one, which is missions. And we had a brother of ours ask that we cover this topic, and we've never done it. I went back, I thought, well, surely we have. And went back, and we hadn't.
Not technically
in our last...
We'll probably address it.
Yeah, absolutely. But so we don't know how long this will take. We're just going to kind of take it week by week and see. And again, if people have questions and thoughts, please send them in to us. So today, though, we're just going to talk about the call to missions. And when we talk about the call to missions, we're talking about both, obviously, the specific call that we know to be a missionary, to go be a missionary. And then the general call to the body of believers. And as we talk about this more, it'll become more clear. So I've got a lot to talk about, so we're just going to jump in here. Three things that will guide us to this conversation today is, one, the clarification to missions, the context of missions, and then the culture of missions. So just jumping in here, the clarification of missions. How do we clarify this? There's a lot of ideas and thoughts of what missions is or what it's not. Or whatever.
Well, and I think there's some discussion about the whole thing of the call, and so that comes into play too. We talk about the clarification of missions. We're going to talk about the call itself, and we'll talk some more about that as we walk through the whole thing. But what is missions? And then let's define it a bit, and everybody's got maybe a little different nuance, but we want to look at a historical definition of missions and then a personal definition of missions.
So when you say historical, what do you mean by that? Because that when you think of historical, that conjures up, you know, the past.
Yeah, of course.
So we're talking about what we in the past have typically thought of missions?
Yeah, I think we begin with Acts and we move through church history, and you're not going to talk much about church
history. So not
history.
Just 100 years ago, but
right.
2,000 years
ago.
Oh,
we're talking about... When you look at the beginning of missions activity, and you look at the Gospels and the book of Acts, and those great commission passages where Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. And he told his disciples, his apostles, before he left, he said, you will be witnesses for me, to me, of me, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and throughout the whole earth. I don't think they understood the significance of that. And that had to leave them kind of thinking and scratching their heads a little bit, you would think. But and then you have that. So then we look at the history of...
Well, it's a foreign concept to them, because for Jews, it's all about them.
Yeah.
Right there.
Their religion was a Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it primarily was
in
the beginning of the church. Most Christians, if not all, were Jews. So, but then you get through the book of Acts, and you get to the first early years of the church, and then you move into the end of, and into the first century, into the second century, you start seeing the gospel move around to northern Africa, and to spreads out into the reaches of Europe and other places, in Ethiopia, even in the first century church. So, historically, we have a historical context for missions.
Right, but you mentioned to me when we were talking, you said typically when we talk about a historical definition of missions, we've been talking about going somewhere else.
That's right, and we see that.
So we're all to be on mission, but we're not technically all missionaries.
Right, this is the, and that's the little bit of the difference between the historical definition and the personal definition. But historically, missions has been going somewhere else. Somewhere, at least some distance, sometimes overseas.
I mean,
Paul's missionary journey took him overseas 3 times, you know. But the idea historically missions is meant to go somewhere else, and I don't think that's a bad definition. You brought up David Platt's message at a session we went to just before T4G, and he brought up that important distinction that missions, technically speaking, is going where...
Well, and he expounded upon the Greek word for going,
mm-hmm.
and really, I feel like, developed that quite a bit and giving a context for what it means to go. I mean, because so many people are like, well, I'm going. I go to work every day, and I'm a missionary. That's true, but generally speaking, we're to preach and teach the gospel everywhere.
And that's true. And that could lead us, since you mentioned that, could lead us to the personal definition, because you want to move from it just being some historical definition, and you want to have some personal grasp of missions for yourself. And as you said, all Christians are on mission, but not all Christians are going to the mission field.
Well, we need a world vision.
Yeah.
We really do.
So I think to get that personal vision growing, one needs to be a witness where they are. One needs to have a heart for the lost, to be praying, how can I be a witness on the job where I am, in school, or to my neighbors, to whatever, my associates. Maybe it might even be political associates, people you're involved in certain clubs with, whatever. How can I take the gospel? It's as we are making that personal connection to the gospel going out, that then missions itself might become more personal. I believe the Spirit of God works in those who have a heart for souls and have a heart for the gospel.
But at the end of the day, we want to have a passion for the heart of those people who don't know Christ, never heard of Christ.
Right.
We're not talking about people who live in our area who don't know Christ. We're talking about people who don't even know what the name of Christ means.
Who don't even know what a Christian church is.
They've never heard the gospel. The unreached, as we like to say.
Yeah, so I think we need to hold fast to that we want to send out and even go out ourselves somewhere out there to take the gospel.
Piper mentions something very important. He says there's three kind of people when it comes to missions. There's those who go, there's those who sin, and then there's those people who don't do anything. And then he gives what only Piper can do in his very nice, sanguine smile. And you're wrong. I mean, you know, and it's so true. I mean, not all of us are going to go to the unreached.
Right.
But if you don't have a passion and a heart, if it's not personalized to be a part of sending people who will go to the unreached, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Spiritually, there's something wrong.
Yeah. So that's something of a clarification. I think we need to hold fast to that definition while we are pursuing being on mission personally.
Right.
And being personal missionaries of sorts. We're not technically missionaries if we're just staying at home.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we have the clarification mission, more of the historical and personal context that we're looking at, or definition. But what about the context of missions, the true context? Where does it foster and develop and kind of grow? I like to use a real popular word now, organically.
Well, I think if we look to Scripture again, and if we look at the Gospels and the Book of Acts, you know, while there was not technically a local church in the Gospels, there were the beginnings of it.
Right.
There were the seed.
It's not until Acts that you begin to see the formulation.
Right.
Of that,
and then you see that come together in the first couple chapters of Acts. And what we see is a context that is only the local church. There is no other context.
We have done a series on the church. So if people want to know about the local church and what, biblically speaking,
and
that
why
is.
Why that is so.
Go back and listen to that, and then come listen to this.
Or listen to it while you listen
right,
to this.
Right.
But, the newer generations are not committed to institutions.
Right. And, well, we don't like institutions because they bind us. They hold us down.
Yeah, they fence us in.
Right.
And so we must emphasize, those of us who are serious about the Scriptures and about biblical missions, emphasize the local church.
Okay, so local church, what does that look like? In that context of a local church, there's people, there's leadership. What does that look like?
Yeah, we need to talk about leadership. First, the leadership of the church. If you look at Acts and the Gospels, you see those who were leading, those whom God chose to be the nucleus for and the leaders of the local church were those who were going themselves.
Right.
They had a heart for the world. Even though they may have been scratching their heads a little bit after Jesus said what he said, it's days later, and they're in the midst of a Spirit of God working in a powerful way, and then people from all over that part of the world hearing the gospel and then going to where they were going for the gospel going out that way, and then them going.
So basically, the early church leadership were commissioned, if you will, to take the gospel to the outer realms of the world, to the
what they knew of the world,
what they knew, which did happen.
Peter wanted to go to Samaria of all places.
Right.
I mean, I don't think
which for a Jew is know the significance difficult. Of
that. Yes, that's crazy. And then Paul and Barnabas are obvious leaders, servant leaders in the church, and the church commissions them to go, and they go.
And Barnabas is not he's a businessman. He's not even a pastor.
But he's very, very involved in the work of the Lord.
And some
the
even believe he used his resources, financial resources.
Well, we know he gave.
Yeah.
He was a giver in the early church when we had the situation with Ananias and Sapphira. So,
right.
So here you have the leadership setting the tone. And I mentioned this, and not to brag, but when I was pastor of a small rural church for 11 years in Mississippi, the giving to missions went up probably 150 to 200%, and that was in a time when we couldn't attribute all that to inflation because
right.
inflation wasn't as rampant during the 80s. So my point is, leadership leads out. That
right.
creates, that's the part of the context, and there's membership.
So they got to set the agenda, and then you got to lead by example on that agenda.
Right. And then you have the membership of the church.
Okay.
And the membership now getting this sense of, you know, it's us. You know, and we are interested in the gospel, and we're interested in how the gospel can be taken to people who've never heard.
I think one of the biggest dangers in the local church, and really this is anywhere and just in general in society, is that when the leadership does it, then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to particular missions and the taking of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world, to the earth, it's not only a leadership responsibility, it is a laity responsibility.
Right. It is equally so. There is a biblical dichotomy between church leaders and laity. Those.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But
in the end, we're all responsible for the gospel going. And I think we should make this statement that a lack of interest in or an apathy toward missions is an indication of a deeper problem in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So if our people aren't at all interested, then we got something else. There's something else wrong with it. We need to start prayerfully seeking what is the problem.
Is it possible to give money but not be interested?
Oh, I think so. I think that's an easy
answer. So it's not just enough to give money.
I don't mean that it's not important and
right.
shouldn't do it, and people who care should give. But sometimes it can be the easy way out. Oh, I give.
I gave $150.
We need to examine our hearts in that regard, yeah.
Because I just feel like there's so many ways and angles we can find excuses not to be in our hearts what we should be.
Right.
The passion, the motivation, the drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we got the clarification of missions, the context, which is the local church. Now we're looking at the culture of missions. We want to create a culture within that context of where people are growing and fostering and developing toward this passion and this drive.
Right, so that it's not just an emphasis when you have a missions conference.
Right.
Or when somebody in your church says, well, we're going, and you kind of get
a missionary shows up and speaks and gives a
exactly.
great
yeah.
message.
And I'll show some slides, whatever the case may be. You know, it's not slides anymore. I'm dating myself.
PowerPoints.
Right, PowerPoint. But whatever it is, you know, no, the thing is there needs to be this culture of mission. So a culture created, first of all, by biblical exposition.
I feel like I've heard you say that before.
Well, I'm a broken record, I guess.
Honestly, that's a broken record that I wish we'd keep playing because I don't think we need to forget about it.
I hope that those of us who are emphasizing this have some influence with our little niche, our little place, and that people, you know, we have some people who are young in the faith, young
right.
singles and stuff that we minister to. We got to get this thing of biblical. I think all roads lead to the hub, to the center of biblical exposition.
Right.
And because exposition is where God speaks.
Right.
Christ speaks to his church through the exposition. You expose the scriptures. You
right.
preach the text, and the text says go, and the text says do this, and you do it. And so I think there's a culture created.
Yeah, when we understand the historical, even cultural, if you will, a context and the grammatical understanding of the Word of God, it really begins to, as you said, expose what is meant for us to do.
Right. Now, there's something else I want to add to that, but I want to be a bridge between this and our next point. But our next point is a culture created by biblical experience. In other words, Paul and the early Christians went everywhere Well, the early Christians that were preaching the gospel, because God ordained there would be some persecution, and the church was scattered abroad. And those who were scattered, whenever we're preaching the gospel, the 12 tribes scattered abroad were those to whom James wrote his letter. Paul himself went, you know, and in his own experience, that experience became an experience of, he says to the Philippians, I wish you would understand that all the things that happened to me have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. So this is the kind of experience in life I want to talk, but I think there's an element there. We didn't talk about this before we came on. I'm going to close with this. You mentioned our pastor just preached the book of Acts, pointedly challenged people to think in terms of the gospel and sharing the gospel and the gospel going out. And then we go from that exhibition, I say, but then there's the culture created by biblical experience. There's a bridge there I think we didn't think of. I think the bridge is prayer. I think the bridge...
No, which, by the way, we just got through.
Right. Some of us have got to be praying, God, minister to the heart.
So the Spirit of God has to move in amongst that exposition.
Yes, slap us with this. Pierce us with this. I know I was waiting for worship to start yesterday, and I just turned around and looked. And I did it after the service as well. I just looked at the people. Many of them I don't know by name.
Right.
But I just thought, Lord, make the Word of God take root. Make it count. Because the Lord has to do that. Work among us. Spirit of God, move among us. And I think that needs to become a prayer for us, that the exposition would be bridged to experience by the work of the Spirit of God.
Well, because you said this, if we don't go, God will find a way to move us.
He can move us. He can get us out of our comfort
zone. He did it with the early church, the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
Hey, it may be coming now.
Yeah. And this is a generational issue. It's both young and old. One last thing I want to add, just in addition to that, at T4G, when we went to this little mission conference, pre-conference thing, J.D. Greer, who's now the Southern Baptist president, elect, I don't know if he is yet or not, but I'm not
think he is.
Yeah, so, but anyway, he talked about how in their church, they create a culture of missions, whether it's coming out of the nursery all the way to their senior citizens, if you will. He says, I mean, they do things like in their Sunday school class, they create things that make people look like they're going to other parts of the world, and so they start getting an idea that the world is bigger than themselves,
right.
And they try to encourage their older people who have the funds and the time to go on trips. They get their young people coming out of high school to commit to going on a trip. They want to create a world vision. Right. And when he started talking about that, I was like, this is it. This is create that bridge, that gap. So they pray. He talked about that. They pray, but then they do, and they go.
Well, and then parents, have missionaries in your home. Have them for lunch and talk.
Yes.
And listen to your kids hear what they're talking about. Yeah. This is creating that culture. We could go further. We're going to do some other stuff.
Absolutely.
But this is the beginning point.
Right.
The call.
Well, then join us next week. That's all
right.
I got to say.
That's where we're going.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.